Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Steve Jones Show, Monday edition. We hope you had a great weekend. Sean Carey here, and Steve will be there in just a moment in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's work with the brands that you know and trust, the ones that you can bank on, and when life happens, the Purdy family, those are the people that you want in your corner. They'll set you up with the right policy that'll fit your needs and your budget, whether if it's business insurance, homeowners insurance, auto, life, they've got it, and it's Purdy Insurance. Pay them a visit, Market Street in Sunbury, or go online to purdyinsurance.com. Speaking of going online, you can check us out at stevejonesshow.com. We always have 3 months of shows archived on the podcast page. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, or Google Play. Just to go in the search bar, type in Steve Jones Show, hit subscribe, and after our shows are live on WKOK, we drop them to your smartphone and tablet, so you can listen to them anytime, anywhere. And of course, we will rev up our Penn State football coverage quite a bit here over the holidays, getting closer to New Year's Day, the kickoff of 2019, and the Citrus Bowl in Orlando between Kentucky and the Nittany Lions. We'll have an 11:30 a.m. airtime on January the 1st, and the kickoff at 1 with Steve, Jack, Derek, and Roger here on WKOK. So speaking of college football, we'll dive into that topic quite a bit today. We were mentioning the long-form write-up that Nicole Auerbach did last week for The Athletic. When will the expansion take place in the college football playoff? As the conversation continues to ramp up, 4 teams to 8 teams, when will that happen? Well, we'll get a chance to speak with Nicole next hour, 4:06, scheduled to join us, not only from The Athletic, but also you see Nicole from time to time on BTN, on Big Ten Football and beyond. And we'll get our other usual cast of wonderful guests lined up for you as we move through the first couple of days of this week. Matt Leon out of Philadelphia from KYW News Radio 1060. Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Get some Penn State football conversation going as we also get closer to early sign-up, National Letter of Intent Day, which is this Wednesday. Talk to Ben about that. We'll also talk Steelers with Neil Coulong, the senior editor of the NFL Wire. Steelers with a fantastic win, a much-needed win over the New England Patriots yesterday at Heinz Field, 17-10. Steelers able to limit the Patriots to one touchdown, and that was on their opening drive of the game. So the defense doing just enough and creating havoc and making Tom Brady feel uncomfortable at those pivotal points in the game. And Jalen Samuels with a great running performance for the Steelers. 19 carries on the day for the Steelers. He said post-game he never ran 19 times in a game in college or in high school or in peewee or midget football. So makes the story even nicer for Jalen Samuels. So, but for the Steelers next, it'll be a trip to New Orleans on Sunday. That'll be another 425 kick on 100.9 The Valley. And the Philadelphia Eagles, outside of Philadelphia Eagles fans, who gave them a shot last night against the Rams. Second straight year, Philly gets a win in the Coliseum with Nick Foles at the controls. So now up for the Eagles will be Houston. Final regular season home game at the Link on Sunday. That'll be a 1 o'clock kick over on Eagle 107. So we'll get some NFL conversation going as well as we move through the week. It looks like Nick Foles will start again for the Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz is not on IR as of yet. And that's according to Eagles head coach Doug Peterson in his weekly press conference earlier today. They just want to give Carson Wentz another week to recover from his back injury. Last night, Nick Foles, 24-31, 270 yards and an interception, guiding the Eagles to the 30-point mark for just the second time this season. Terrific night, too, for wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey, catching 8 for 160. So the defending Super Bowl champions, they still have life at 7-7.
Very much have life, as a matter of fact. They have put themselves back into the playoff picture, and a playoff tournament that, to me, 3 weeks ago was pretty much, I think we all looked at it and went, okay. This won't be all that interesting. There are, you know, 3-4 really good teams, and that'll be it, and we'll just go through the formalities. Now, I think 3 weeks later, has transitioned into an extremely wide-open tournament. I mean, wide-open. Now it's wide open in a lot of ways. I mean, the Steelers put together just a fabulous performance yesterday, especially defensively. That's the part that got me, was defensively. How wonderful the Steelers played yesterday. And how about Jalen Samuels? Jalen Samuels evidently has never had a 100-yard rushing game in high school or in college.
19 carries last night. He never carried that much in a college game or in a high school game or a peewee or midget game. I mean, obviously during his college days, he was more, you know, catching balls out of the backfield.
Sure, yeah. Right. And he's very good at it.
Yeah.
But my goodness. And if we were killing him on the show last week, we did a great job of killing the dude last week. Now we're like, let's give credit where credit's due here.
Hey, I was 100% flat out wrong on this game. I mean, I'm the first to put my right hand up and say, hey, I whiffed on this one. I did not expect it. I did not see it. I was worried at the kickoff when, you know, Patriots were going down the field and, you know, former Penn Stater, you know, Chris Hogan catches that ball, goes down the sideline with literally no Steeler within a mile of him, and Artie Burns ran the wrong route, and I'm like, okay, Artie's starting on defense. This just doesn't lie to me. I think, okay, things are lined up not where they should be, but what a great performance. The defense just picked their spots to make Tom Brady uncomfortable at those pivotal points in the game, especially Cam Hayward getting a lot of heat up the middle, too.
I think if we were allowed, for example, to make our picks on Friday, unfortunately, one individual decided to do way too much analysis of, like,
the Celebration Bowl.
Yeah. The Celebration Bowl analysis, which took 7 minutes. Okay, at which we all ended up picking the same team, except I think Kevin picked Alcorn State, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Like, that's one of those, like, okay, who do you pick, NC North Carolina A&T or Alcorn State? I'll take North Carolina A&T. I'll take North Carolina A&T. I'll take them. I'll take them. We're done, okay? We could have had the whole pick done in 20 seconds, but because we had to get 7 minutes of analysis from one individual, we ended up losing.
That said individual 6-0 out of the gate on the bull picks.
That's fine. I really don't care. It took up time because that's not okay. Stop taking up so much time.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're 6-0. You know, nobody cares who picks the Celebration Bowl. Nobody. Zero. Oh my goodness. Oh well. I would have picked the Steelers to win. How about that? How about that one? You're shocked, aren't you?
I still can't get over the performance. They needed it, especially with Baltimore.
Sure.
Getting the win yesterday.
Sure.
And to Chris Boswell's credit, I mean, to go out there and nail that 48-yard field goal, that took some stones to do that, especially with, you know, knocking another one far right earlier in the game.
We always go to moxie. Moxie's a good word.
Yeah.
It may be an old-fashioned word, but you know what? Some of the old-fashioned words are pretty good. Oh, my goodness. Nicole Auerbach's going to join us on the show today?
Yes, 4:06. Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to talking with her. She's the one that put together the article on the expansion of the college football playoff, where she did a lot of research, got a hold of a lot of key individuals that may not have voting power, but are considered to be in the know and influential. How about that? Well, I'm looking forward to talking to her at 4:06 today. So we've got a lot going on there. Santa tonight from 6 to 7. And I'll admit, I'm a big fan of the jolly old elf, aren't you?
I can't believe it's the last week of the show already for the season. Only 5 more shows to go.
For Santa or for you and me?
No, we're talking about for Santa.
I don't know.
You know, you know something I don't?
Something happened in the PD meeting
Speaking
today.
To the other big guy, I didn't see him in the building today. You know,
I've been under the impression things were going pretty well.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah. I mean, we'd already eliminated the problem and only showed up for an hour last week. So, I mean,
then you got the Philadelphia Flyers manager, you know, the head coach saying, oh, my job's intact. I'm good, and then the Flyers are backing him up and confirming that yesterday, but then this morning, what happens? Gone.
Well, I think supposedly they want Joel Quenneville to be the coach, but he's skiing. So they're going to name the other guys an interim. Gordon, the guy who's been coaching in Allentown? Because Joel Quenneville's skiing. Yeah. This is working out really well. All right. So today on the show, we have Neil Coulon, okay, Nicole Auerbach, and Matt Leon. That jive with what you have?
Works for me, yeah. I got some others I'm working on for later in the week.
Good. We'll have Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, later in the week. We've got a lot of recruiting stuff going on. National Letter of Intent Day. The early signing period is Wednesday. So this is it's going to be a busy week.
Yeah, mix in now, some hoops conversation, obviously, because we got 2 Penn State basketball games on the road. Pitt and Alabama, of course.
I'm going to talk to Dick about coming over to the hotel room and maybe doing a half hour of the show, maybe on Thursday. I'm going to see if I can do that. I never get him on the show because people are like, well, you know, you don't get him on that much when you're on the road together. I mean, I never do. And then one of the reasons I don't is, hey, you got a chance to just be free, easy, and clear. You know, and so I'm trying to be respectful of people's time. When it comes to something like that, especially when we're on the road.
Well, I know you were reeling off a portion of the itinerary once you get into Tuscaloosa later this week. This could be an idea. Depending on what spot you hit later this week, I think you had a specific barbecue joint in mind.
Dreamland, baby.
Yeah. Maybe we could call it like Barbecue Confidential or Dreamland Confidential. Just take the, you know, go out to dinner and take the digital recorder with you and hit record and see what we get.
I think between noon and 4 Central Time, I'm going to be doing like work like that. Once I hit 5 o'clock Eastern Time, I'm off the clock.
5 o'clock somewhere.
I'm going to go get ribs. Do something like that. Have a good time. We'll go to that little hole in the wall called Dreamland, and I think that's the plan on Thursday night. Now, Moeller and those guys, he says, we're going to do lunch at Capitol Grill on Wednesday. I said, we are? And he said, what time? Oh, 1 o'clock. I said, I can't go. He says, what? I said, I can't go. Oh. So that's out. And I talked to Jack today for about 20 minutes, just about some things I observed in practice and things like that. Our man is a little bit under the weather. I rarely hear Jack under the weather.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Frog in the throat?
I have never heard him cough.
Hmm.
So you're like, oh, okay. So. Oh, well. But we talked about a few things, and we were talking about ratings and things like that, you know, because, you know, college football is a hot buy right now. Tony Knapp's talked about what a hot buy it is with corporate partners. The ratings for college football are just up almost everywhere you look, except for the Celebration Bowl. And it's, you know, it's what? Was that a shot?
It was a good one.
Across the bow, man. Across the bow. It's what we do.
Boom.
We go for the stuff across the bow. But I'd asked Neil to come on today's show instead of tomorrow's show. And he said to me, he said, after yesterday, he says, you're darn right. And then Matt, you know, Leon was the same way. Leon was going to go over to the Hackstall press conference, and he said, you know what, I got time to do this, especially after last night's game. I said, yeah. So we'll get him on the show as well today. And then Nicole's segment, I think, is going to be thoroughly, completely fascinating. I'm really looking forward to that, just to get her read, because I read the article. The article is really good, by the way. Really good. Just to get her read on everything. It's great to have you with us. I've got a couple things I want to say about UCF. And a couple quick things, well, one quick thing to say about one official's call on Saturday in the NC State-Penn State game, where it's just, I mean, look, I'm not talking about winning or losing the game. I'm just talking about you got to have a feel for the game. If you don't have a feel for the game, don't make the call. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. Why? Because they're the pros that get it done. You want to be covered? I don't care if it's auto, home, life, business, they'll make sure you're covered. You want the best price because you don't want to be ripped off in your insurance, they'll find you the best price. Oh, and if you have a question, they'll get you the right answer and quickly. If you have a concern, they'll take care of the concern. And if you have to make a claim, they'll jump into that claim as if it happened to them. because they're your partner in all of this. It is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. 1 week to go until Christmas Eve. How about that? Santa will be on tonight from 6 to 7 in the Magic Radio. Okay. Now we're going to talk about the Steelers and the Patriots. This will be a 180 from the paralysis by overanalysis on the Celebration Bowl. Oh, stop laughing, Sean. Jeez. It's, you know. So with that, we bring in Neil Coulong. Neil, welcome. Great to have you with us. Always appreciate the time you give us.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Like, I'm passing on a chance to speak to you guys after a game like that. We had to suffer through the last 3 weeks at the regular time. There's no way I'm going to miss it now.
Exactly. Neil, of all the things, you know, every game takes on its own personality. I don't care what sport it happens to be. Is it safe to say the Steelers' defense of all units won the game yesterday?
I think it was in a lot of ways, which is really weird because the two huge plays that they gave up are legitimately two of the worst we've seen all year.
Yes.
In a year that hasn't been all that great for surrendering big, kind of confusing, dumbfounding-looking plays. I thought, just generally speaking, they really had a strategy that they stuck with the entire game. They weren't trying to do a whole lot, and I think it's probably best described as they really did not blitz. They did not send guys after Brady all that often. They were going to make King Tom Brady beat them through the air, and he was going to have to do that by finding another one of those receivers that you barely ever hear of, except for the one game that he blows up every single year. And they basically took Gronkowski and Edelman completely out of the game. Edelman made the nice play at the end. He battled and competed in the game. Gronk did not. I mean, he really was nowhere to be found throughout that basically through four quarters. And it's something we talked about last week as well. I'm not entirely sure he's the same guy. I think it's safe to say now we are not going to see him in a Patriots uniform next year if we see him in any uniform. He didn't look the same at all. It was not an issue of a double coverage coming his way that forced him to not get open. Edelman was able to still make plays despite double coverage. He looks just like a shell of himself, and really has for the entire season. But for the Steelers to be able to kind of slay that dragon defensively, it really kind of, you know, piqued your interest on what this team might be able to do over the next 2 weeks, and opens up their season, which was all but closed a week ago.
Offensively, they made enough plays. What was your opinion of the job that especially Samuels did at running back?
I thought he looked great, and that was another reason why I wanted to talk to you guys. I almost felt bad during the game. I ripped him pretty good after that Oakland game. He looked five times better than he did the first
week. He mentioned it in the press conference, Neil. just kidding.
Brought it up.
Neil Coulong, Steve Jones, this is for you.
We got to hear this. This is what you get for doubting a rookie with 15 carries in his first game.
That's but right.
I thought he looked great. In many ways, he is still kind of a what you see is what you get type of guy. He was meant to be more of a receiver, and we've seen him show some, you know, proficiency in that area at times this season. But as a runner, he looked pretty bad against Oakland. But he turned that around completely against New England, and that's not the greatest run defense you've ever seen. But, you know, they didn't make it easy for him either. He outmaneuvered guys. He made guys miss, showed a little bit of power. He's not the fastest guy you're ever going to see. He doesn't have the most burst you're ever going to see. But this is the fifth-round rookie who just carved up an NFL team for 175 yards and was really the key focal point for an offense that really it seemed to score much more than they actually did. It was a very throwback Steelers performance. They ran the ball well. They controlled the clock. With the turnovers, with the missed field goal, they cost themselves the opportunity to get to that, you know, 24-27
right.
point range.
Yes.
And that kills you when you're a running team. But by and large, he kept them afloat. He was huge on the final drive. You really had to be happy for what he was able to do. And you combine that with James Conner putting together performances like that this year, really kind of makes you wonder if it was right for the Steelers to chase down Le'Veon Bell the way that they did, because maybe they just doubted their offensive line a little bit too much.
Yeah, maybe. I thought when Chris Boswell missed the field goal, I thought, oh, here we go. That was going to be the turning report of the game. What does it tell you about the resolve of the Steelers that it was not the turning point?
You know, if for me, and not to get too hokey with it, but the reality was that that game was won on guts and heart. And I'm not somebody that loves to give, you know, extraordinary value to these intangible, you know, unprovable kinds of things. But find me a game this season the Steelers would have won in that situation. You know, there's no way that would have happened against a good team. They you know, almost lay down and die after that situation. You're first and goal from the four, and four plays later, you miss a goal. And from there, the Patriots take over. They're running through you all the way down the other side of the field. That's a lay down and die moment for the Steelers, particularly on defense, but just a gut punch for the offense and, you know, it. Poor Chris Boswell as well. I'm still not 100% sure he's going to remain on the roster right now, or certainly I think they'll bring in competition for him for next year. But just a horrible miss in a situation that really couldn't have come at a worse time. And you're happy, at least for them, to get the opportunity to come back out there and you know, give himself a chance to redeem, you know, like everybody else did that game. He got to get in on the action as well. So you're happy about that. But by and large, yeah, I mean, we've seen them lose to the Patriots for far less reasons than that sequence of plays. I really thought it was over, just simply because you can't leave the door open for Tom Brady all that long. Even if the Patriots aren't playing that well, they're going to capitalize on that. That's what they're known for. They ratchet things up a level when a team exposes themselves as being the weaker of the two teams. And to me, it really just an odd second half to that game that really just shouldn't have happened. I'm not sure how often we've seen that.
Neil, on both sides of the ball, how strong were the respective game plans for the Steelers?
I thought both sides of it were excellent, and I think the defense had the large errors. Whatever it is that happened that apparently wasn't Artie Burns' fault, Mike Tomlin was quick to point that out in his press conference. I had a good laugh about that. And he's right, it wasn't. More than likely, the safety is the guy that's supposed to be trailing on that, not taking the post the way that Burns did. They had the bigger errors on defense. They had fewer sacks than a normal game for them. But they held firm with the plan that they had. And Brady had plenty of opportunities to break it. They got the big busted play at the end that set him up, you know, inside the 30-yard line and gave Brady, what, four or five opportunities to throw into the end zone. He wasn't able to make a play. The defense held strong. The offense had, I think, the better of the two game plans simply because they were able to do whatever they wanted in the first half, but they misfired in small ways. Roethlisberger had the overthrow. I think Juju Smith-Schuster's arm got pulled back a little bit on that.
It was.
I'm not sure he can't make a competitive play on that ball if he isn't being held. Yeah. The other interception is just a tip ball that happens to everybody. They ran the ball exceptionally well. They did not load up one side or the other, in my opinion. They ran when they needed to run. They ran successfully when they needed to run, and they were able to move the ball up and down the field and control the clock. Again, minus two turnovers and a missed field goal. They probably fell short of the mark overall simply because they didn't convert. They made a few too many mental mistakes, but not nearly as big of the ones the defensive side made. So the plans were definitely there. They didn't get executed perfectly, I don't think. They usually don't, though, so it's not a concern. They got enough to win the game against, well, at least what we thought was a good opponent. I'm not sure that was the best Patriots game we've ever seen them play.
No.
But it was an absolute must-win game. Style points are out the window now. They needed to win that game, and they did.
What'd you think of Brady?
I would imagine Brady is probably a little upset today for a variety of reasons. I mean, the first thing you're going to point out is two drops by three receivers. Two of them came from Edelman. Another one came to Gordon, the guy that I thought they were really kind of holding off to the end of the season before they get him a 10-target game. Brady targeted him, what, twice, I think, something
right.
like that? And that's with a relentless double team on Edelman and Gronkowski. He still refused to get Gordon the ball. To me, it just seems more like he must be frustrated to some degree. I mean, you know, to largely ignore any other receiver who might not have as much time with the team, time with him, Even if he drops a pass, it just seems odd that he wouldn't try to find a way to get a third receiver more involved with it. The Steelers dared him the entire game to throw to somebody else, and he didn't do it all that well. I mean, he completed passes. His numbers on the surface, if you look at them,
are good.
Are reasonable.
Yeah.
You know, you can't complain a whole lot. That interception was pressure-induced more than anything, just didn't get enough on the ball to get it out of bounds. He played a reasonable game, and for them to have scored 10 points, to have trailed pretty much the entire game, to lose their second in a row, which I think the first Bush was in office the last time the Patriots lost two games in a row in December. It's remarkable to think that run could really legitimately be at its end. And if you're Tom Brady, you have to kind of think, you know, that's got to frustrate you a little bit to go out this way, because it's not like, you know, the entire machine fell apart. They put enough together to be competitive, and for them to lose it at the end like this, it's so un-Patriots-like that I would imagine that would be really, really frustrating.
Yeah, because to me, one of the keys for the Patriots is this. Right now, they are not in a position to get a home game. You and I both know that during the remarkable run for the Patriots, that for the most part, they have not complete, but for the most part, they have not been a really good road playoff team.
Yeah, I mean, James Harrison was a defensive player of the year the last time the Patriots had to play in the wild card round, let alone a road game.
That's right.
I mean, it's insane to think of how much football has been played since then. And right now, this is kind of the tricky part of the NFL, your reward for not winning road games is to play on the road, the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that's where they are. They're a 3-5 road team. They looked poor against Pittsburgh in many ways. They didn't look a whole lot better against Miami in their loss the previous week. They've played themselves out of the second seed of the playoffs, which might have been their only hope to making a run, being the real experienced home field advantage holding team in the division round. You know, can you count on Houston right now? Can you count on Kansas City? I'm not entirely sure that we're 100% sold on either of those teams just due to the lack of experience. But playing the Patriots in the division round at Foxborough is as sure a bet as there is in the NFL if you want to bet on the game. So for them to have potentially squandered that and have to play an extra game in the playoffs, I mean, that's nuts. You know, Tom Brady might owe some of his longevity in his career to not playing a half a season's worth of games in the wild card round throughout this entire decade.
That's exactly right.
It's a huge loss for New England.
That's exactly right. About 3 weeks ago, I would not have said that it was going to be a wide-open tournament. Now, 3 weeks later, I feel like this is now a wide-open tournament, depending on which group of teams gets in. How do you feel about that now?
I honestly, try to pick a Super Bowl combination right now.
Right.
I would defy you to argue with the very distinct possibility you're talking about a Los Angeles Chargers versus Chicago Bears Super Bowl. That very well could happen. Any other combination that you pick, you don't really have a reason to say that it can't happen right now.
Right.
You know, look at the way the Bears are playing right now. I don't know if you watched the Rams game last night.
I did.
Jared Goff, you know, he's been taking way too much of his Cleveland Browns quarterback medicine or something. I'm not sure. He looks horrible.
Oh.
I mean, he's not even close to where he would need to be.
I mean, there are people that are standing on the sidelines out of bounds, and he's even overthrowing them.
Yeah, he can't find anything. You know, whether it's a mental issue or he's injured, I don't know, but he's not even close to the same quarterback that he was, and that doesn't surprise me. I think the middle ground where he is now versus where he started is probably more realistic for him as a player.
I agree
but
with that.
You're seeing something similar with the Saints. Obviously, you're seeing with the Patriots. Houston, again, I'm not 100% sold on them. If they're a this-year team versus a next-year team,
right,
they're not going to be easy to beat, and they haven't been. The Chiefs should have lost two in a row. They should be on their own two-game losing
streak, right,
just like the Patriots and just like the Rams. So the top teams in the league are falling apart here down the stretch, and who's going to step up and pick up that slack? I don't know, but I wouldn't want to play the Bears.
I wouldn't want to play the Ravens. I wouldn't want to play the Ravens if they got in.
Yep, you got to worry about a team that makes absolutely no bones about what they're going to do on offense, and they do a team
and
anyway.
And does it.
And,
running. Stop it.
It's almost like you're inventing this new philosophical strategy in the NFL. The quarterback is that important, and your quarterback can't beat you. So they're going to completely take the passing element away from the quarterback and just add another running back onto the field. And now, I mean, one of the things I really like that they're doing, they run a diamond formation with two tight ends on either side.
That's right.
a tailback behind Jackson.
Yeah.
They're basically playing a full house backfield without a quarterback. You know, nobody thinks Jackson's going to throw in that situation. And frankly, having looked at Jackson pass in the five games that he started, they shouldn't let him throw the ball. You don't know where it's going to end up. He's a really bad passer, not even close to what I thought he'd be when he got to the NFL. He can't throw the ball. But they're running it on teams 6 yards a pop when teams should have absolutely no reason to think they're going to do anything else. That's not going to be an easy team to beat. You know, you look at it 1 through 6 in the AFC. We're not even sure who that six is going to be, and you're worried about it playing any single one of them. I don't think there is a dominant team in the AFC. They're all going to be able to reasonably compete against each other. And the NFC, I'm not even sure if they know what way is up right now. You know, Chicago and Dallas could be the two best teams, and they're going to be 3-4. So it's going to be crazy. I'm looking forward to it. I was kind of hoping for a postseason that had this level of drama involved and not teams that just kind of walk through two games to get to the Super Bowl like we've seen in the past.
And finally, on the Steelers will play at New Orleans. New Orleans will play tonight with Carolina. Just some quick thoughts on that, with obviously New Orleans not playing out this week yet.
New Orleans, you're going to be worried about New Orleans playing at home probably more than playing any other team when they're at home. It's a very difficult environment to play in.
That might be the best home field advantage in the league in the end.
I think we're going to see that now, and I'm struggling to remember if they've lost a game at home yet this year or not. I'm not sure. But what I know is we saw this yesterday. It's a lot easier for pass rushers playing at home to get off the ball simply because the crowd's quiet. If the crowd is into the game, which they absolutely are in New Orleans, especially a big game like that, the offensive line for the Steelers are reacting to the ball moving at the same time the defensive line is. They don't have that advantage. But the Steelers aren't going to be able to get off the ball nearly as quickly as the Saints will. Knowing the snap count is a huge advantage. That in and of itself only makes Drew Brees' job easier. And Drew Brees makes a lot of things look extremely simple. They have a great offense with probably the best set of playmakers in the league. It's not going to be an easy game for them. For the Steelers, the situation they're in now, it's still going to be, you know, weird things will have to happen for them to get to the 3 seed anyway. They're probably content playing four of the four because they're not having to win at New Orleans now.
Yes.
They can still win if the Ravens lose at the Chargers, which, you know, I'd probably pick the Chargers in that game, although it wouldn't surprise me if Baltimore won. And they play on Saturday, the Steelers play on Sunday.
Yeah,
so if Baltimore loses, You're looking at a situation where the Steelers can pretty much take Week 16 off and not worry about it. They just need to beat Cincinnati at home in Week 17 to win the division. Where they are now after a 3-game losing streak, that looks pretty good.
See, and that was one of the important factors I thought going into the weekend. The Steelers will know the result before they play. Same thing with this one. They'll know the result before they play. They'll know what they have to do or not have to do based on what happens. Baltimore playing at 1 o'clock yesterday or playing Saturday this particular week. The Steelers will know the result.
Yeah, they almost got about 30 hours of lead time in there as well, considering they're playing a 4:25 on Sunday.
Right.
I'm not sure that affects their strategy necessarily, but they could be playing for a division championship.
Sure, they could.
You know, we saw what their defense did. They can replicate a lot of that, the philosophy of it at least, against the Saints. I think they'll have a lot less success than they did against the Patriots. I don't think anybody would argue the Patriots had better offense than the Saints do.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem as long a bet as it used to, although I don't think there's a scenario in which I would, you know, if Drew Brees gets hurt tonight, then maybe I'll change my mind. But I'm probably picking the Saints in that one.
Right. And, of course, the Chargers will have 27,000 strong at StubHub. He'll be quite a matchup. I'll say this about the Ravens, to me, don't have fans outside of Maryland, maybe southern Pennsylvania. So it's not going to be StubHub. It's going to be overrun by Ravens fans. All right. Neil, appreciate it.
They probably will. Just watch. All the Baltimoreans are going to take their Christmas time early to fly to L.A. to watch a Ravens game. I can see that happening. We have to hear that Seven Nation Army chant even more on national TV. That's the worst. I can't stand that.
Neil, from us to you, happy holidays. To say we appreciate you would be actually an understatement.
Pleasure's all mine, guys. Happy holidays. We'll talk to you soon.